The primary indication of culture is politeness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. The instant inspiration this evening is, the primary indication of culture is politeness. Isn't it interesting that politeness, such a simple, often ignored thing, is so very important to everybody? It's so very important for everyone to think about what their values are. And when a person, well, for instance, we were just talking about Sabrina and Jerome, and we were saying what wonderful balancers they are, and how polite they are, and how gentle they are. Now, did they learn that from their father, or from their mother, or from Roger, or from Gertrude, or who did they learn it from? Well, I think Adrian is probably a polite person. He's probably a gentle, polite person. And I think that the women that he has in his life are probably gentle and polite people, mannerly people. And every one of them that I've met so far was a very mannerly person. They had good manners. And of course, Gertrude, who the children are with the most of the time, is a very mannerly person. She does everything tastefully with good representation of the culture that she has. Now, Gertrude probably has a few attitudes in her politeness, which is not what everybody else would like to have, but everybody else has attitudes in their politeness that other people don't like. Like Inga, she has a tendency to be super humble to people. And that's taken as a politeness, but that's really not a politeness. That's a disrespect for the people you're with, because that's saying to them, you're trying to get something from them. You want to be humble to them so that they'll like you or so they'll acknowledge you. And we don't ever want to do that, because that's motivational politeness. You know, some people, children, they go into their mother and say, "Mommy, can I do something for you? Mommy, would you like something? Mommy, would you like some toast? Mommy, would you like this or would you like that?" And mommy knows right away something's up, you know. And she says, "Well, what's on your mind?" Because they're usually building up for a question, building up for something they want. And they say, "Well, the kids were asking if we could come over to their house tonight, you know, the neighbor kids." And mommy says, "Well, what are your plans? What are you going to do there?" "Well, we're going to have a party, a pillow party." "Well, that's interesting. Does their mother know about this?" "Oh, yes, of course." "Now, are you sure? Did they tell you that or did you know that?" I mean, because, you know, sometimes some children are not as honest as they could be. Not that they're dishonest kids, but they're just telling that they're dishonest. That's what they are. Now, let's go over and talk to their mother and find out what the plans are for this evening. "Okay." So the girl has every expectation that the mother already knows about it. And so she goes over with her mother. And the mother says, "Well, hi, I hear you're having the girls over tonight." "Oh, we are." "Yeah, they said they're having a pillow party at your house." "Oh, they are." "Who's all coming?" The mother, you know, is polite. She doesn't say, "No way, get the little things out of the house here. No way. You know, unless I say yes, it isn't so, you know." But she's just very polite, very cultured. And she wants to hear the story before she makes the threat, you know. And so she hears the story, and that the girls thought, you know, that somebody else was having a slumber party in school, so they'd have one too. And somebody else was having a slumber party in school that night, so they wanted it too. And so they just didn't go through the usual channel to make sure that it was so. And so the mother says, "Well, now, There's only one little hang up here. Your father and I are going out this evening. We're having a babysitter in. And I don't think I'd want the babysitter to have the responsibility for other people's children. So you just plan your party for another night, but make sure I know about it ahead of time. And you see, now, that's class. That's culture. That's politeness in a very beautiful way. Caring, gentle, but definite. And not, you're terrible for planning this without asking her. Naturally, it wouldn't work out. You know, how could you be so stupid? I mean, that's their children. Their children are as intelligent as they are because their children are a chip off the old block. And if the old block is a considerate, peaceful, loving, courteous, you know, cultured person, then the children are that way too. We spoke about that just a few moments ago too. Children mimic their parents. They act like their parents. Look at a child and you'll see the parents' values and integrity. The primary indication of culture is politeness. Well, where does politeness come from? Politeness comes from the very early stages. When the little child is in the crib crying for whatever reason, and the mother says, "Oh, damn it, oh, I don't get any rest, I don't get any sleep, oh, darn it, oh, holy." And the kid gets the impression. He gets the feeling that he's not wanted. He gets the feeling that he's a burden, so he's going to be more of a burden. He's going to yammer all the time, and he does. Now, the mother, who delights in her child, and when the child makes a noise, she stops what she's doing, goes in. She doesn't rush. She just stops what she's doing. She goes in to see what's going on, and then she can tell that he wants his pants changed, or he wants to have something to eat, or whatever it is he wants, you know. Or maybe he's stuck, you know. Maybe he's choking between the crib bars there, and she has to get him out of there, you know. Well, interesting, isn't it? But that mother sends vibrations of peace and love and charm to the child. That child will grow up to be a courteous child, wanting to help his little brothers or his older sisters and brothers. He'll want to be helpful because that's the way his mother was to him. However the world is to us, that's how we are in the world, because we're a reflection of the world, and the world is a reflection of who we are. So if you want to have politeness, you have to have it from the beginning. In other words, your family has to have a little culture. Have you ever noticed any families that didn't have culture, how their children were, and how they were sort of inconsiderate of one another, and how they always said, "Me first"? Now, we're teaching, "I am number one," but we're not teaching a "me first." We are teaching, "I am number one, I love myself, I love my world." We're teaching all these beautiful things, but we're also saying courtesy, gentleness. Now, I still hold the door open for all the rest of you, and you want to hold the door open for me. Well, if you want to hold the door open for me, get out there before I do, you know, and then I'll let you hold the door open for me. But if I am the first one out there, then I'm holding the door, and I got to hold it until someone else takes a hold of it. But I don't mind. It's just a matter that what is it that would be your choice? So, courtesy, culture, manners, all shine out in politeness. And how is your politeness? How is your feeling of joy about yourself? How is your feeling of respect for your mother and your father? What do you think about your mother and your father now that they're off in another land and having other experiences? What do you think about them? Now, don't just jump to the conclusion, "Oh, they're wonderful, they're super, they're great, they're the most fantastic people on earth." They weren't. They were hell. They were miserable. They expected the best out of us. They wouldn't let us get away with anything. Now, that's not very nice. I mean, kids want to get away with things, don't they? Mm-hmm. Not really. But the thing is, that's what people think kids want to do. Now, what do dogs want to do? You say, "Bark." Well, what a foolish thing to do. A dog wants to be loved. A dog wants to mind its master. A dog wants to have rules that it can stay by and live by. A dog wants to know what limits it has, and then it goes to those limits. And when it's done with those limits, well, a puppy is a different thing. You understand that. a little puppy is trying its wings too and does things that mess up. But after a while, he gets the message too. And he stops chewing on things and stops doing things. I think that Le Baron and Le Duc never stopped chewing. They made a mess out of all my furniture. It was really quite something, but we're still having it today. But they were good guys, and they just hadn't had a chance to be properly trained. I spent a lot of time with them, but I had Button there, and them, and a lot of other people who like to be in there. But you can't make excuses for that. If you're going to train a dog, you train him. Let him alone. I'm training him. You can pet him if you want, but let him alone. You know, I take him for a walk. I feed him. I do this with him. I do that with him. See, and then one person, one control, and they learn. They learn to follow the rules, and they learn to know what the rules of culture is, and then they're polite. You say, Button, sit. And Button sits, and so does Little Love, you know. And you say, Little Love, sit. Little Love sits, and sometimes Button will sit too. But the word sit means something to them, not necessarily Button or Love, but Button or Love gets their attention. But you're teaching them manners. You're teaching them to be polite. And when they lift up their leg when they shouldn't, say, sit. And then they'll sit. And they'll stop doing it because that's just a reflex. And they don't need to do that. They, if they really have to go, they go and go. Like Little Love, he goes out in the yard here, and he goes, you know he has to go. But if he really had to go, he could go out the doggy door and go in the backyard. We got a big backyard out there to play in. But he doesn't do that. He wants to go out front here. He wants to go out on the greener grass where the cats are. And I came in today down the staircase here, and Magic was laying there by the steps, rolling in the dirt, you know, shaking and then rolling. I said, Magic, you're just having a good time, aren't you? And she looked out, yes, and roll. I don't know whether she was rolling in some dead mouse or something like that, but they usually do something like that to change their odor, because cats are close to being wild, but they're tame. And they're lovely. And they, too, have manners. They, too, have politeness. Last night, I went out into the garage. And when I went into the garage, I was looking at the workbench. And I looked over the cat box, or the bed of the cat. And there was Spot laying there, big as all life. And right on top of him in the back was Magic. Curled right around Spot, just snuggled in there to warm itself. And Spot looks at me and says, are you going to make me run out of here? No. You just stay there, relax, you know. But now that's politeness. That's courtesy. And that's respecting other people. And you don't have to be obsequious about it. You don't have to just, you know, bend over and kiss their foot. But what you do is you're considerate. You do the same thing for others that you'd like done for yourself. And that shows real culture. And this is why in Borneo, the headhunters who live in Borneo are not upset with somebody coming over and cutting off the head of one of their people, because they just go over and cut off the heads of one of the other people. And it's just part of their tradition. That's what a headhunter does. And why they do these things and why they are acting that way, there's probably some meaning to it, like the woman with the pot that was too small for the roast, so she cut off the end. And then ever since that time, every other mother-daughter cut off the end of the roast until one great-great-great-granddaughter says, why, you know? Well, I don't know. That's the way great-grandmother made it. And they go back there. She said, my pan was too small. See, and so the headhunters may have a similar reason for hunting heads, that the pan was too small or something like that, or that they were told by the Great Spirit that if they took the head of their enemy, then their enemies would no longer be their enemy. all the people who are in that tribe or who are in that experience no longer are their enemy. And that may well be what the reason is. And if it isn't, that doesn't matter. It makes a good story, doesn't it? So, the primary indication of culture is politeness. And I think this alludes to something else. This alludes to savage people, primitive people, third world peoples, who presumably don't have culture. Well, Ellen and I had the surprise of our life when we went down to Africa, and we found there in Africa, with all the limitations they have, dirt floors, no real toilet that flushes, they piss outside and they take a shower with a bucket like they do in Guyana and so forth, but they're all the same type of thing. Yet the clothing that those people wore was spotless. The women went down the street, they went down the highway in the jungles, back and forth, carrying on their head a load, and always their clothing was just spotless, just beautiful. And how could they keep it that way? Maybe they took it off when they went in the jungle and did their thing and came out and put it back on again, you know, because there's not any dirt marks on it. We didn't see that closely, but they have a culture. They have a culture which is very sophisticated and very beautiful, very friendly and charming and warm. It's a culture that you the minute you see them, the minute you talk to them, you are like embraced in their consciousness. Yeah, that's right. You just feel one with them. You just feel magnificent about it. It's a great experience. But that's a culture too. Now, I think the culture that they're referring to here, the primary indication of culture is politeness. I think this phrase that we have, that culture, is really the lack of culture, where it's doggy dog. You just tooth and nail it, which is like Wall Street. Wall Street is without culture most of the time, because people don't care what they do from others, and the big stockbrokers, you know, I don't mean stockbrokers, but the big stock companies, the presidents and chairman of the board, and all the big names of the company, they didn't feel any remiss in stealing from the company. And now the federal government is saying, what should we do? Should we send them to jail, or should we slap their hand, or what should we do, you know, because we haven't had this to deal with. Now, if there's a person lower down in the echelon who steals from the company, they send them to jail. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Well, the big deal is the big boys who also got caught with their hand in the till perhaps should have that same thing. But again, we're not to judge. I'm only saying that there was a culture on the lower end. When people stole, they paid the price. But where is the culture on the upper end? You steal with immunity, with impunity? Ha! Wonderful. Go for it, I tell you. Crazy life. The primary indication of culture is politeness. So whenever you see a polite person, you know he comes from a good culture. And what might be one remembrance that we have in our mind?
Leopold and Kate.
Yeah. Leopold was a culture out of its time, but exquisite. Exquisite. But I was very distressed when Leopold said, all right, I'll do it for you. Even when he said he wouldn't do the commercial because it was completely an anathema to him, he did it for her. Yeah. And that showed how much he loved her, but it also showed that his ethics were purchasable. And we don't ever want our politeness or ethics to be purchasable. So, the primary indication of culture is politeness. Thank you for listening and sharing and being here with me tonight. You're a great joy.